Action causes reaction.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A bevy of economic indicators are out and markets are responding just 20 minutes into trading. The government says retail sales fell by more than 1% in March, led by car sales and electronics. And wholesale prices also fell, with energy leading the way. So people are buying less and spending less. And less seems to be the word on Wall Street. Dow is down about 1.5%, 122 points at this hour. The Nasdaq down nearly 1%. And the S&P 500 down about 1.5% as well, about 12.5 points. European shares are up at this hour. Asian markets were mixed. All right, we're going to talk to Bernard Baumol, the managing director at the Economic Outlook Group this morning. Mr. Baumol, let's talk about these economic reports.
Overall, yes, the retail sales numbers were disappointing. However, I think we've got to keep in mind that the March numbers were higher than January, and February itself was revised upwards as well. So I think we just have to take it as one month that's bad. But this month, the month of March, should not be interpreted as a significant setback for the economy.
Let's talk a little bit about that positive news that you were mentioning. We're getting good news on the earnings front this morning. Johnson & Johnson with better-than-expected numbers. Yesterday it was Goldman Sachs. Where's the love on Wall Street there?
Well, you know, I think right now the market's probably reacting initially to the retail sales numbers, but I would expect by the end of the week we will get some better earnings report. And the most important sector that Wall Street will be watching, of course, will be the earnings in the financial sector. And you're right. We had yesterday some surprisingly good news in profits from Goldman Sachs. This week we'll get the Citigroup and J.P. Morgan Chase. So everyone's going to be keeping an eye on these companies. Keep in mind that it was only about a month or two ago when people were worrying that the government's going to have to take over a lot of these financial institutions. And now things seem to have turned around to some extent, and we're actually seeing these financial companies begin to register some profits. And that is, you know, the first stage of a recovery for the financial sector. So we may get some good news later this week, and I expect the market to react accordingly.
All right. Bernard Baumol, the managing director at the Economic Outlook Group, thank you for joining us this morning.
Anytime.
President Obama today discusses the economy in a speech at Georgetown University. We're expecting more in the way of a government status update than any presidential pep talk. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
President Obama will tout signs of economic life, such as a spike in mortgage refinancing and a rise in loans to small businesses. He'll also remind the country that further pain is on the horizon. Christina Romer chairs Obama's Council of Economic Advisors. She spoke this morning to NBC's Today Show.
We know we've got several more months of job loss, for example. We know that the numbers on GDP are almost surely going to be very bad for this quarter and next.
Consultant Peter Cohen says Obama's walking a rhetorical tightrope.
He has to be simultaneously realistic and sensitive to the pain of people who are suffering. At the same time, he needs to avoid having Americans give up and panic and feel that there's nothing that can be done.
With the speech, Obama wants to renew confidence in his efforts to stabilize the housing and credit markets and to improve regulation of banks. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
No doubt the economic fallout has hurt many charities. Philanthropists and foundations have been cutting back on giving. But some donors are doling out more because of the weak economy. Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
Last fall, after a really bad day on the stock market, a small foundation in Illinois received a letter. It was addressed to its CEO, Sarah Shostak.
Dear Sarah, we are pleased to commit $1 million to the Community Works Initiative at the Evanston Community Foundation.
The anonymous $1 million donation will help low-income kids attend preschool. And the donation allows the foundation to increase the amount it gives away in grants. But most organizations aren't so lucky. In the last half of 2008, donations of $1 million or more fell by a third. Yet demand for assistance has been climbing. At this Pittsburgh food pantry, volunteers pass out bags of groceries. Grant Oliphant, CEO of the Pittsburgh Foundation, sees more people he describes as the new needy.
It's folks who have never before had reason to believe that they would find themselves in need of assistance with food or shelter or transportation.
Pittsburgh charities have raised about $1 million to create a new fund to help people hurt by the downturn. But Oliphant says many nonprofits themselves need emergency assistance.
The concern is that some of these nonprofits will go out of business. It is immensely difficult to replace them once they're gone.
To help keep projects afloat, some philanthropists are giving more. Hedge fund manager Ken Nickerson founded the EOS Foundation to fight poverty in the greater Boston area. Last year, the endowment lost about 40% of its value. So Nickerson and his wife donated an extra $10 million.
We had more money than we needed, and the foundation had less. And so we actually transferred about a quarter of our wealth over to try and help recapitalize the endowment.
Nickerson says studies show the very wealthy often give about 2% of their income to charity. He challenges the rich to ask themselves, how much money do I really need, and how can I give more? In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Finally, Rachel Romanek of Reno, Nevada, didn't want to go out Sunday night, but she was persuaded by a friend to check out a casino near her house. Just a few minutes into her gambling at the Terrible's Megabuck slot, she hit the jackpot worth more than $33 million. Romanek says she owes a lot to her friend, who talked her into going out in the first place. I'm sure she has a lot of new friends today. Hey, you've got a friend in Scott Jagow, our online blogger. He's at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.